Sam, thank you very much, and thank all of you for being here tonight. It's a wonderful evening, a summer evening, all right, as it normally is in the summer. The heat is coming down, but I told someone walking in a moment ago, I can't wait for the first blue norther to blow in.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to a little cooler weather, and the closest thing to that would be ice cream. And we're having that after the worship service tonight, so we want to invite all of you, if you're visiting with us, we hope that you'll stay around for just a little bit and give us an opportunity to meet you and greet you and tell you how much we really, really appreciate your being here today. And we had visitors this morning, we have visitors tonight, and that's always great. You know, when God created the world, there was darkness on the face of the earth. The Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And he said, let the dry land appear. You know, God intended for you and for me to walk in the light, not in the darkness of this world. And sin is often analogized by actually the darkness of our world. But in John 1 and verse 5, Jesus said it well, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, when Christ came into the world, he came into a world that was enmeshed, actually, in evil and corruption. And we think today, we say, well, the world is worse than it's ever been. Not so. Think back to the days of Noah, when God describes those days of Noah, and he says that the youth were evil from their childhood on up. And anyway, he also said that Jesus would come into the world, and that promise was found over in Genesis 1 and verse 15. But darkness would not comprehend the light of Almighty God who shines forth in our world. And that does not negate the fact that you and I need to walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, and have fellowship with him. Some Christians do not dispel the darkness around them. They don't. You might ask yourself the question, am I dispelling the darkness and the sinfulness of this world in which we live? It would be a good question maybe for all of us to ask ourselves and to understand that there is a tremendous difference between light and darkness. Can you imagine eternal darkness? And the Bible even describes hell as the abyss or as the place of outer darkness. It would be impossible for us to truly understand completely maybe the depth of the darkness of the human soul. When we stand in darkness long enough, it won't be long until we simply accept it and we grow accustomed to it. And that's what's happened in our world today when you really stop and think about it. Do you know there is a fish, it's called the blind cave fish, and you'll find those down in Mexico, by the way. But they're born with eyes, but they lose them and the ability to see because they have lived in darkness for so long. It's amazing, isn't it? When you look at schools of fish, you think that they can see, but not all of them can. You just can't. But are you walking in darkness tonight? Or are you walking in the light? And even though we live in a dark world, Jesus is still the light. He said in John 8 and verse 12 that I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Think about our dark world. Paul the apostle, in addressing the church at Ephesus, had this to write to them in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8 here. And he says, for ye were once sometimes darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. And so walk as children of the light. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, he says, reprove them. He says, for it is a shame even to speak. Now consider this. A shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now that's pretty bad, folks. And God has showed his displeasure with people who engage in such things. Now, I know he doesn't specifically say them, but you could just take the gamut of our world and look at it and look at all the changes that have been made and the things that we accept today that we didn't accept at one time. We just wouldn't. Can you imagine a church ordaining homosexual ministers? Or even gay marriage, as people often refer to it. We know that those things are wrong in the sight of God. Listen to what he says. But all things that are reproved are made manifest in the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you the light. And he does. But let me share with you a few things tonight about darkness. First of all, is the fact that men love darkness. Now, I know that's true because Jesus said it in John 3. And this is the condemnation of the light's coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light. You know, it's a tough thing to give up on sin, isn't it? When we have lived sinful lives and we have been led to believe that if it feels good, do it, and that there is nothing wrong in and of itself, then we will start embracing darkness instead of the light of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, one of the reasons they loved darkness was because the Bible says their deeds were evil. We always talk about people wanting to live transparent lives. That is, I want you to look at my life. What you see, to coin a phrase we used many years ago, is what you see is what you get. You know, when I think about the light, I think about truth. Men love darkness because they didn't love truth. They had no respect for truth at all. But if you've ever been in a court of law, if you have ever been a witness, and I have been in many of them, not because I had committed a crime, but to be character witnesses for people. And I think that's often warranted by those of us who are children of God. But one thing for sure you will do, you will put your hand on the Bible and you will raise your right hand and pledge to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help you God. Now that's how important truth is to our world. We want people to be true. No one wants to live by a dishonest person, do we? No one wants to live by someone who lies and cheats and all those sort of things, but we put our hand on the Bible to declare that we are going to teach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But sometimes we give in to sin. It was like a little story I had heard here some time ago about a confrontation between a young boy and his mother. And the mother asked her son, she said, "Son, there were two cookies in the pantry this morning, and may I ask you, now what happened? There's only one there now." And the boy didn't flinch, but he said, "Well," he said, "it must have been really dark in there because I only saw one." You know, in life, sometimes people are waiting for the right time to engulf themselves with darkness and to walk in darkness, but God has asked us to walk in light. You have seen crime scenes that say, "Do not enter, do not enter." God is saying that to us. Do not enter into the path of darkness. There is none so blind as he who will not see, however. Solomon, one of the great writers of the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs 4:19, says that the way of the wicked is, listen to this, as darkness. Now, you see how often the word darkness is equated to the word sin and vice versa? He says, they know not at what they stumble. We have to get out of the pit of darkness and start walking in the light. God, matter of fact, has called us out of darkness. You know, one of the great analogies of Jesus is the fact that he is our lighthouse. He is. To those of us who are adrift on the sea of life, he is the lighthouse that calls us to himself. But there's a second thing I want you to know about darkness. Our spirit has waned. There's so much darkness in the world today, even the people that don't even darken the doors of a church building at one time embrace the light, not the darkness, and they didn't want to have anything to do with darkness. But the spirits of mankind in general have waned. Instead of running to God, we find ourselves running away from God, and that's a bad thing. For Romans 8 and 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We ought to ask God to guide and really lead us in the paths of righteousness. In Galatians 5 and 16, Paul says, and this I say then, that we are to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know how to get out of the temptations and the trials of life? Walk in the Spirit. Let God lead you. Let him guide you and give you direction in your life. Now, in one translation, it says it a little bit different, but I like this one also. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5 and verse 14. But then thirdly, when men walk in darkness, their stamina is abated. It is abated. And sometimes those of us who are children of God will allow our stamina, spiritually speaking, to abate, to just simply drop off, to simply go away. So he says again, you don't want to gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I have a neighbor who has a dual citizenship in Mexico and in the United States of America. Now, they changed that law back during the Eisenhower administration. But you can't have dual membership. You can't, or citizenship. And it's true even in the church and in our world today. People who are in the church, we are members and citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And you cannot have a dual citizenship in the darkness and yet hold hands with the light of God himself. Just can't do it. It's impossible. Someone said, I love you, O Lord. You are my strength. Is he your strength tonight? If God is for us, Paul writes in Romans, I think it's the 10th chapter in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And always remember that no matter what you have to face in life, do not let go of the hand of God. Because God is leading you. He takes us. He leads us in the paths of righteousness, and he leads us in the light. Paul says, finally, in Ephesians 6, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do not pray for an easy life. Most of us do. We want things to be better for us. We don't want to have the struggles that we have in life. Do not pray for an easy life. Pray for the strength to endure a difficult one. And understand, we just need to ask God for a stronger back, spiritually speaking. But fourthly, and last of all, our footsteps are defiled when we walk in darkness. When we participate in the sinful things of the world, we're giving in to the world instead of giving in to God. God wants you to submit unto him. James says that we are to submit unto him. And I believe that God is asking us to do that. And yet there are so many that are defiled instead of overcoming Satan and his assault against us. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, John writes, "If we say that we have fellowship with him, and we, now notice this, and we walk in darkness," he says, "we lie and we do not the truth." It's one thing to say you're a Christian. It's another thing to live as a Christian. It is one thing to say, "I love God," and another thing to show God by your actions that you love him. In that heat that we sing that old song, "Jesus is all the world to me." But is he all the world to you? In 1 John 1 and 5, John writes, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." None. No darkness. That's why I want to walk in the light. I want to walk with him. Sometimes we have to adjust our eyes and see our need of salvation and adjust our spiritual eyes to be able to see. Have you ever heard people, sometimes you can present the gospel to them, and I do that all the time, but a lot of times people say, "Well, I just don't see it." No, you see it, but you don't see it. You're like the Pharisees of whom Jesus said. He says, "They see, but they see not." They read it. They can read the Bible just like we all read the Bible. We can up the pages of God's eternal word and find out what God says, and we can see it for what it really says. Instead of trying to dissect it and cut part of it away like Jehoiakim did with a penknife, we ought to be a group of people that love God enough that we're going to make sure that our eyes are open to the truth of Almighty God. We need to say yes if we're going to have a blessed life. And we must open our eyes wide if we're going to please our God who is in heaven. Now, think about this just a minute. I said and began the lesson tonight by telling you that men love darkness better than light. But I would tell you tonight, be careful and don't get used to the dark. That's a problem, isn't it? Because if you get used to the dark, you won't be focused on God. You feel very, very comfortable with the sins of the world. Instead of feeling that you need to make adjustments in your life to honor God. We talked about that this morning in our Bible class, bringing glory unto God. Did you know that hell is described as the place of outer darkness, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? It's a terrible thing to think about going to hell. No one likes to hear sermons on hell. I've never really had somebody come up and say to me, "Well, I sure would love for you to preach on hell tonight." I've never had anybody. I've had people say, like they did this morning, "Would you bring a lesson on heaven and tell me what heaven is like and tell me how I can get there?" But nobody said to me, "Could you tell me how to go to hell?" No, but there are plenty of other people out in the world that would be happy to do that, I'm quite sure. But I know one thing, that God wants us to walk in light, not in darkness. Why would we even entertain in our minds the idea of walking in darkness and living in darkness, and then when life is over here, being able to go to the celestial city that we call heaven? There's a song we sing sometimes, and it says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace." You know, I remember so well when I was baptized. I'll never forget that moment. What a thrilling moment it was for me to make that commitment unto Christ. And I had all kind of folks that were, all my brothers and sisters had submitted unto God, and tragically not all of them stayed faithful to the Lord and I regret that. Maybe something I could have said or in some ways. But sometimes your brothers and sisters have a way of resenting you when you talk to them about the Lord. But through the years, I've had the opportunity to share the gospel with many, many people. Not all of them accepted it. They didn't. A number of them rejected it. And I had been called upon to speak at their memorial service. And Dwight and I were talking before church tonight. You know, a preacher is put in kind of a precarious situation. When you know someone is not a Christian and has not been obedient to the faith, what do you say? What do you say? In our attempts to comfort family members, what do you say? I hope tonight that if you're in the audience and you're not a Christian, and I always make that appeal because I believe that's what Christ wants us to do, is to appeal to people to become citizens of the kingdom of light. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, why wouldn't you obey the gospel and surrender your life unto Him and live for Him all the days of your life, knowing that when you take that last breath and your heart beats for the last time, that the angels of God will come, as we said this morning, and bear you into the presence of our Lord to await the great judgment and the great resurrection and the great pronouncement of the rewards that Christ is going to give, Revelation 1, verse 8 and following. So tonight we're going to sing that song of invitation. And Sam, if you'll come lead that song for us.